Some of you will know that at the beginning of the year I flew out to Tanzania with Jane to distribute some mosquito nets. And it was an amazing flight because as you fly into Tanzania, if you look out of the little portholes in the aeroplane, you can actually see popping its head above the clouds, the top of Mount Kilimanjaro and its sort of snow-capped majesty. An amazing sight just to see that mountain peeping up through the clouds. And we spent about 4 months of our lives in the town at the bottom of the mountain, a place called Moshi. And that's a Swahili word which actually means smoke. And the truth of the matter is that if you live on the ground in that town at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro, you hardly ever get to see the top because it's peeping up through the clouds. So lots of disappointed tourists come and hope to see the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. And actually all they really see are the foothills around the bottom of it because the top is covered in smoke. And you know, sometimes they're satisfied with that. They're satisfied with the foothills because they can't actually see the real thing. They can't actually see what they're missing. And this morning, we're going to have a look at the real thing. You see, many people have written off Christianity as being irrelevant to life. And I think that's because their understanding of what a Christian is actually based on a misunderstanding. So this morning, we're going to take an honest look at life and at the Christian faith. And I'll let you be the judge of how relevant you think that Jesus Christ may be in your life. Now, for my part, I believe that Christianity is, well, I believe it's more than just relevant. I actually believe it's crucial, quite crucial to us all. Let me explain what I mean. I used to live in Plymouth, where I helped do a little church there. I remember one day getting on the train to go to London, and the Plymouth train stops off at Exeter on its way through. And on Exeter, on arriving in Exeter, a young man got in the train and sat opposite me, facing another couple of people on the other side of a table. And off the train went. And as the journey progressed, first of all he went off to the bathroom, then he came back. And then he went off to the buffet and came back with a cup of tea. Then he went off again and came back with a cheeseburger, I think it was, looking rather horrible. But anyway, that's what he came back with from the buffet. And then it happened. About 20 minutes after that, he leant forward to the people sitting opposite him and said this, does this train go to Bath? And they said, no, it doesn't. So he got off absolutely panic-stricken at the next station, hopefully to try and find another train that did in fact go to where he was going. But what struck me was the fact that he'd sat there all that time and could probably have spent the entire journey enjoying the trip and the scenery and the buffet food, comfortably numb in his seat. But sooner or later, of course, the truth would have caught up with him, wouldn't it? And it sounds silly, but actually we can be like that, spending our lives worrying about things that really are only at best temporary. Things which, though of some importance, are only really the foothills of life. Our finances, our careers, our health, our homes, our houses, our university studies, how we look. Think about how much time and energy in the last week we've spent thinking about these things. Finances. How I look. all those kind of things. Yes, they're important, but at best, every one of them is only temporary. I mean, whatever beauty products she uses, if Lady Gaga makes it to 70, I don't think she's going to be coming out to sing dressed like she dresses at the moment. Because it's temporary. Very temporary. So what on earth is the point in living our lives for things that must come to an end without asking the bigger question? Where's it all going? Where am I heading in life? I had a very interesting Good Friday, because I came here, had a fantastic breakfast, and then we had our Good Friday service. And then with a few others, we decided to go out and hand invitations, just to anyone we met along the road. And I saw this guy waiting by the entrance to Sainsbury's with his shopping basket. So I thought, well, I'll invite him. And then I said, excuse me, would you mind if I offer you an invitation? He said, what's that to? And I said, it's to church. He said, no, I don't go to church. I haven't gone for 20 years. I said, what stopped you? And then he started up. He said, I'm an intellectual. I'm a chemist. And he gave me all his reasons for life and all his philosophy and stuff on the pavement outside Sainsbury's. And this is what he said to me. He said, for me, he said, the first half of life is learning how to live, and the second part of life is preparing to die. But for him, death was clearly the end. A final brick wall beyond which he wasn't expecting to exist. And that just struck me as being a totally hopeless worldview, devoid of hope, where the truth is that the longer that he lives, the less he's got to look forward to. Then I went to continue down White Ladies Road, and I walked past a Bupa health thing, which promised to improve my fitness and well-being. So I settled for the Chinese buffet next door. And I sat in there for about 3/4 hour, having wonderful, wonderful food. Then afterwards I thought, well, it's time now for me to walk back to Alma. So I crossed over the road, and I started to walk up White Ladies Road to come back here. And I started to think about Easter thoughts. And it was then that I saw it, in a great big poster outside the art gallery. It said this: Robert Lenkiewicz still lives. And I thought, how Eastery is that? Now, he was a painter when I was in Plymouth, and he died in 2000 and something. So to see there plastered in great big letters that he still lives, it's something that I wanted to go and see. So I said, can I go in? He said, yes, it's completely free. You can go and have a look at all his paintings. They were still life paintings of people. I think it was still lives and not still lives. Oh dear. So anyway, I went in and I had a look at all these still life paintings, portraits of different people and different groups of people. There were portraits of, he painted kind of social scenes. So there were paintings of homeless people, paintings of groups of elderly people, just sort of staring into blankness, into nothingness. There were pictures of addicts. There were pictures of a glue sniffer. There were a picture of a group of gay people. And the caption next to it said, actually, everyone who was painted in this picture failed to survive the HIV. And as I went from groups to groups and paintings to paintings and looked at their faces, they just seemed to be hopeless. real life, real difficult situations, but in that, a sense of utter hopelessness. Then I came to the final room in this exhibition, and there was a glass display case. And when I looked into it, there was an embalmed dead person. I mean, it really was there. And then it was one of the homeless people who we'd painted earlier on in life. And there he was. And I looked at this kind of shell of a person and I thought, that's just a husk. It's just a shell. And then I thought to myself this, that is what the chemist who I talked to earlier on is settling for. That. You see, to have life in all its fullness, there has to be hope. Hope in the present and hope for our future. And our reading this morning said the thief would have us live and die without hope. But Jesus would have it otherwise. And that's the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. He is the giver of hope. Do you know why so many people fill out those numbers on their lottery ticket every week? It buys them a week of hope. That's actually why people do it. It buys them a week of hope. And it's into the reality of this situation that Jesus, the Son of God, says, the thief only comes to kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. Jesus came that we might have hope for the entirety of our lives and beyond. Switching from the exhibition by a dead artist of an embalmed corpse, we move today to the empty tomb of a risen Saviour, Jesus, who still lives and who changes and affects our lives. It's a huge leap from darkness to light, from despair to hope, from emptiness to meaning. See, the life that Jesus is talking about, this life in all its fullness, it's a different way of living. It's life bursting with hope, full of the presence and the power of the living God, where death is not the end, but rather the gateway to life, and where everything is placed in the perspective of eternity. Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a hopeless future and from a meaningless present. A future where, at the moment, when we die, as, I'm sorry to tell you this, but as we all will, we stand to lose and to leave behind everything that we've gained in this life. Jesus saves us from this by giving us eternal life, because the relationship that we enter into with him here and now and base our lives upon, it continues into eternity. For though we die, yet shall we rise, even as he rose, because his spirit lives in us. Jesus deals with death, and with this uncertainty, with this fear, taken away from hanging over our heads like the sword of Damocles, we're set free. We're set free in the present. But this is not just a pie in the sky when you die thing at all. It's about here and now. Because at our invitation, Jesus comes into our situation and he energizes our life here and now in the present. He brings purpose and meaning. a whole new dimension to life that isn't dependent on our career or our bank balance or our health or our age or our relationships or our possessions or how we look. A real and living relationship with the God who made us, and with this relationship in place, everything else falls into place. That's why I believe that Jesus is so relevant to everyone. Because life without Jesus is trying to run a bath without the plug-in. Fill it with whatever you like, but it will never be full. Because we were created with a God-shaped hole in our hearts that only He can fill. As Chesterton once put it, Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting as it has been found difficult and left untried. I'm just beginning to wonder, knowing what you're now beginning to know is available, have you perhaps in some way in your life been settling for the foothills of what's real on offer, without God at the heart, when actually all along you could have had the mountains? Well, here's the good news, my friends, it's not too late. It's not too late. I wonder this morning, will you believe that God loves you and that He's got a plan for you? And will you take Jesus at His word for what He said He'll do? Will you let Him give you life in all its fullness? You say yes. I'd be mad not to. But, Bob, how? How? Well, Jesus lived on earth to show us what God is like. And He died to get us to God, to enable us to enter into a relationship with Him. He is that gate. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You see, in order to come near to God, we've got to be like Him. That's not very easy. That's not actually possible. It's not something we can do for ourselves. I can't be like Jesus, and nor can you. There's a whole mass of things that gets in the way, ungodly things that we think and say and do, our attitudes that are self-centered instead of God-centered. The Bible uses, of course, that old-fashioned word sin for this. And it's this sin, this stuff, that blocks us from coming near to God. But the good news is that on the cross, Jesus died to sort that out, to atone for the sin in my life and in yours, so that we can be forgiven and we can come clean before God. A new start, a clean slate, a fresh beginning. That can be yours today, with all the hope that comes with that. And all you have to do is to ask. The rest has been done for us. All we have to do is to ask. It's as easy as to admit and to believe and then to receive. To admit that you need Him, and that you've let this stuff, this sin, get in between you and Him. And believe that He loves you, that He's got a plan for you, and He died to make you clean. And then to receive Him into your life as your King. now and for all eternity. So I'm going to finish now by asking you what seems like a very, very simple question. It's simple, and yet, you know, it's the most important question that you will ever have to answer. And the answer that you give will have implications, both now and in the future. And the question is this: would I like to have Jesus in my life? Would I like to have Jesus in my life? I'm going to finish now, and I'm just going to say a prayer based around those three words: admit, believe, and receive. And I'm going to say the prayer. You don't have to say anything, but if the answer to that question is yes, even amidst the mess, yes, I want to have Jesus in my life, then you could quietly echo the words of my prayer in your mind and make that prayer your prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Admit, believe, receive. Admit. Dear Lord God, I just admit this morning that I've lived my life without you at the heart. I admit that there's stuff that gets in the way that I need to get rid of. Believe. I believe, Lord, that you love me and you have got a plan for me to give me a hope and a future. I believe that you died to get rid of this stuff, this sin in my life. And lastly, receive. Lord Jesus, I want to receive you into my life right now. I want to follow you. I want to trust you. I want to spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to hand back over to Andrew. I've got a few of these booklets called Why Easter, and I'll have them on me after the service. We go through them, we have a cup of tea and coffee and maybe some chocolate, I don't know. That's me being hopeful. But I'll have these on me. If you prayed that prayer and you'd like to know a bit more, then do come and take one of these. I'll give them to you absolutely free. Just take one, and love to shake your hand and welcome you to the kingdom of God. Thank you very much.